roll on into our Think and Grow Rich. Because tonight, I thought we were talking about faith, but no. Of the 13 principles tonight, we are talking about specialized knowledge. Specialized knowledge. And as crazy as the I was like, how does a conversation about kids lead into specialized knowledge? Well, at his age, he kind of shifted into some specialized knowledge of his own. But specialized knowledge is, they say knowledge is power only to the extent that it is organized into a definite plan of action and directed to a definite end. You must learn all you can about your specialty. Set aside a definite time every day to learn more about what you intend to do for a living. Take the courses that are offered on your subject and associate with men and women who know your business well. You know that saying, jack of all trades, master of none? Well, I didn't hear the master of none part until I got older. I used to always hear, excuse me. I apologize. I forgot I was in the house with a 6-year-old that does not have an inside voice. I never heard the master of none part until I got older. So I used to walk around, yeah, I'm a jack of all trades. I know how to do this. I know how to do that. I know how to do this. I know how to do that. But didn't have a specialty in one area. And so as I grew older, I know all these things. I know how to change my oil and filter in my car. I know how to change the spark plugs. I know how to check all the fuels in my car. YouTube has taught me how to change out the little fluid thing that the window washing fluid goes in.
Windshield wiper fluid.
Thank you, Grace. I know how to change that out. Shift to another area. I know how to clean out my car, detail it. Shifting to another area. I know how to plan a conference, put it on, run it. Shifting into another area. I know how to run apartment complexes. I know how to do budgets. Shifting to another area. I will drive my car off. I know how to do all these things, but I have not mastered any of them. I didn't learn how to master something until I picked a focus and I narrowed it down. And I narrowed it down and broadened it at the same time. Because I used to only focus on, I see your hand, Grace. I used to only focus on artist development for music, for musical artists. And when I realized what it was I actually wanted to do, I wanted to specialize in helping those who are trying to start something, be it a business, music career, whatever it is. That's what I wanted to do. So I had to narrow down what I was doing to that specialty. And then from there, I narrowed it down even more. Where do I start? How do I help them with that? What do I need to learn? What do I need to become a master at to help those who are starting something out? Well, nobody really knows how to properly market their businesses to grow themselves to a point where they are where they want to be. And that's any business across the board. So if you're a music artist, you still have to know how to market yourself. Because today, record labels look at how many followers you have and not how talented you are. If you're a startup business, you need to learn how to market yourself so you can find out who your actual audience is, communicate with them, talk to them. As a business that's already established, you need to know more about the psychology of the people that you are marketing to, because times have changed. So the more you narrow down your specialty, the more you can get more out of your life, the more you can get more out of what it is you do. And it's a lot easier to explain what you do when you have it narrowed down to specified knowledge. Grace, go ahead.
I think you just answered it, because my question was, how did you know when you mastered something? I know you said you you just said it. When you really honed in on something, on, you focused on one thing. Like, how you know you didn't master how to do conferences? Is it because you're not doing conferences? Like, because that's not what you're doing right now?
I can tell you how. Because there's a start and a finish to conferences. I know bits and pieces in between. I still have knowledge gaps.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that's me. Me, knowledge gaps means I haven't mastered it. You haven't truly mastered anything if you always stay a student. If you always stay a student, you're always learning. So if you're always learning, you're always on top of it. Just like doctors. Every time something new, a new development comes out, they have to go back and study that. And you have general practitioners and you have specialty doctors. If you just want to go for a checkup and make sure everything's running, you go to your general practitioner. But when it's narrowed down to, okay, my heart ain't acting right, doc. They'll say, okay, I want you to go see the specialist. They are a specialist in cardiology. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, doc. Specified knowledge, narrowing it down, truly helps you understand and know. You don't feel so scatterbrained.
Right. I'm sorry. Go, keep going.
No, go ahead.
I was thinking in my head, because this is what I used to tell my kids, and it sounds like it's what you're saying. I know you got the concept when you can teach it to somebody else. So if you can teach me what to do, like I would always go on the board after I've taught the concept on what to do. And when somebody gets stuck, I'll say, okay. And I go to the board and I write out whatever the problem was. I say, okay, walk me through it. And then when I know they can tell me each step to do, then I knew that they had mastered it. So
there you go. And then not only that, how can you develop a plan to grow if you don't even know what you're growing in? See, we think, so I used to want to be a veterinarian. And I was like, okay, you know, I could do 4 years and get the basics and then go back and get my specialty. And they were like, well, no, it's going to take more than 8 years in school to become a veterinarian. And I was like, well, why? Well, because you have to, it's specified knowledge. You know, so you won't be in school as long as a doctor would, but you'll still be in school for a while because it's specified knowledge. You can't just go get the basics and then get an extra couple of years and think, oh, I got this. No, it's going to take you a little long. And I was like, I don't want to do that no more. It's like, I'm good. I didn't like it then. I want to do it now. But it's amazing how you can register for a course online and learn more than you would sitting in a classroom. It's amazing how you can find a book and read a book and find out more about the industry in a book than you would in a classroom. Because a lot of the things that I learned about music artist management, I got out of a book. From my contracts to talking to people to booking appointments, getting artists on stages. Like, I learned a lot of that from books. I started dipping into specialized knowledge. You can have all the love in the world for something, but that specialized knowledge helps you narrow down exactly how you're going to effectively, what's the word I'm looking for? Effectively, it's right there. Execute, effectively. Implement. Thank you, implement.
Yep.
Thank you, because it was right there. The whole sentence came out and it stopped right at that word. How are you going to execute or implement what you're learning? So who has ideas of how you can take your specialized knowledge and apply to what you're currently doing?
Ask that again.
How can you take your specialized knowledge that you currently have and apply it to what you're doing? And it'll, and answering this question will actually let you know if you have specialized knowledge in that field, or, and you need to go, or you need to go dig deeper and get some more information. Not everybody unmuted at the same time. It's okay. No, don't rush.
Okay, hold on. Ask that question. Ask that question one more time.
That was great.
How can the specialized knowledge that you currently have help you where you currently are? I think I kind of rephrased it, so maybe that'll help.
You know, I got it. Third time was a charm. My specialized knowledge. Oh, did somebody unmute the mic? You can go.
Yeah, Miss Sandra did.
Okay, go ahead, Miss Sandra.
I was just going to say that because of what I've been through, my specialty is, of course, love. But within that, the knowledge of being able to help people that have been abused to come out of the type of frozenness or the death that they are in because of the trauma. What's the word? Traumatization. That they have been through because of being in not the same exact events as they have been in, but it's still abuse. So because I have been in there, I know exactly how they feel. When I have spoken to people, when they open up, they realize that I'm not different from them. We are all human. But the difference is that they learn that they can cry out. In my book, I say, this is for those that are crying out, those that cry with me, because it takes a certain type of skill to be able to talk to someone who has been abused without making them feel like they are a victim. And without making them feel like they are less than because of the abuse. And without making them feel like they are useless. And without making them feel like they are unable to get out from where they are, like they can still move forward. So knowing that only God has blessed me to be able to speak to people on the level that I speak to them, because this is knowledge that you cannot get from a book. This is knowledge that you can only get through life's teachings. It's just like when you are a single person, your outlook on relationships are different. But when you are married, it changes. Same with same with being a parent.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you are not a parent, your outlook is different than when you are a parent. It changes everything because you can't go and do things without thinking about your child first. It's impossible. But reading it from a book, you can only read it. But to go through it, it teaches you the lesson of a deeper love that you have never known in your entire life. So you're coming from a special place within you. And to be able to enhance that so that you can give it to other people where they can eat it and be able to grow from it takes time. So how I implement that in my life for my children and grandchildren, I remember being open with y'all and letting you know that there are many times that I have to say to my children, I apologize for what I have put you through and or have allowed you to go through. And I will do my best to help you to get past anything that holds you back because of that. And because the sorry or the complete empathy and understanding is given to them, it opens their heart and their eyes and their minds to a place that they were unable to see in past stages. So that is part of implementing what I have into what I do. And it is ongoing. I've had clients come to me and tell me that at first I wasn't going to do it, but I was looking at what you wrote down for me, and I know that I needed to do it. And after I did it, I started crying, and it opens up a whole lot of emotions for them that they were unable to tap into before that. Like you said earlier, Deanna, there are things that happen that bring an account in your life back to you. And it's not purposeful, but it's a reminder. So when we learn that what we are special in, when we operate from that knowledge and allow ourselves to go deeper into that, then we become more than what special is. We become more than what knowledge is. You run over into what wisdom is. And wisdom alone is just wisdom. But when you put the actions with the wisdom, it makes for an awesome light. So that's what I have to work on a regular basis. And that is allowing myself to become what I know I am able to do. Not through me, but through the knowledge of what I have been through. And that gives people a chance to see themselves without being afraid or intimidated or any type of barriers that might stop them or hinder them from moving forward. That's what I think.
Thank you very much, Miss Sandra. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Experience does lead you to specialized knowledge, because there's a certain type of knowledge you get through experience. There's things that Mr. Phil, Miss Pam, Miss Carol, Miss Sandra can teach us that we will never catch if we never experience it. When it comes to wisdom, that's a specialized knowledge. That is a specialized knowledge because it's been taught through experience. There are certain things that I can sit here all day and say, yeah, you know, and this, this, and that, you know, and fight for rights and this, and this, and that. And Miss Pam can look at me and be like, baby girl, you just don't know. I've been there. I've done that. I have a specialized knowledge in that because of my experience versus me just saying, rah, rah, woo, fist in the air. It's a complete difference. So yes, experience is a way to gain specialized knowledge. Now, you have some people that grow up and they have so much knowledge, but they never really narrow down what it is they want to do. Well, we know Miss Sandra deals with those who have been abused. That's where her specialized knowledge is, through her experience. What if she went and did even more research and had an even more understanding of abuse, the cycles of abuse, how each type of abuse looks? Or maybe she went even more and became even more specialized and focused on teenagers that have been abused. How they act out, why they act out, the different types of disorders that have been developed over the years because of the abuse. You see how you can take knowledge and break it down even more and make it even more specialized? And over the years, while talking to you guys right now, I realized that's what I've been doing. I started in one industry, shifted to another, and the more I'm in marketing, the more I keep asking myself, what is it that the big companies do? And because I put that question out there into the ether, it's slowly giving me answers to a point where I've now narrowed it down and I am studying and getting my specialized knowledge in psychology of marketing specifically. So I took it from this area and then I put it in here, and I'm using, for those of you who will listen to this later via audio, I'm doing a huge circle and I'm going inside that circle and I'm making a smaller circle. And then I'm going inside that circle and making it smaller, because the more defined I get with what I want to do, the more specialized my knowledge becomes. So when you're starting businesses or when you're building services, make it specialized. Use your specialized knowledge to do that, because the more specialized you become, the more you the confidence level you have is completely different. Because you know what you're talking about. So number 4 of the 13 principles in Think and Grow Rich is specialized knowledge. Number 5, the principle number 5 is my favorite one. it's my favorite. By it, I grow by it. And if I can't use it, it will kill me slowly. And it's imagination. Principle number 5 of Think and Grow Rich is imagination. Imagination is the workshop by which riches are created. Man can create anything he can imagine. Miss Pam Norris, her imagination created a product that saves lives. That the imagination that she has to have that type of creativity flow through her. The humor consultants, the type of imagination that they had to have to come up with, you know what, we're going to use humor as we coach people and teach them how to live the fullest of their lives through happiness, regardless of what's going on. Like the type of imagination you have to think on that level. Antonio once told me that your reality is in your mind, and what you see is the manifestation of what's in your mind. And I used to tell myself, well, man, I have a throw it off imagination. Because things on the outside of me that came out of my head is crazy. Go ahead, Mr. Phil.
Robin Williams had an album. It's called Reality. What an interesting concept.
Because your reality is a manifestation of your imagination. Just like I told y'all with the conversation I had with my 6-year-old, like the type of imagination that he has for his young mind to think that way about, and to even come to me and say, mommy, do we live in reality or do we live in a game? Like what imagination does a 6-year-old have to come to me and ask that question? What is flowing through his head? Whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. How many of you was the kid that when you put your mind to something, like you fully focused, like there was no detour, there was no, if you were on it, you were on it. I don't care what it was. You came in 5 and focused on that mud pie, making sure it came out perfectly oval or rounded, flat with the perfect radius and symmetry and all the extra stuff, and you stayed focused. And when you did it, you got exactly what you wanted. That was you using your imagination. That was you. Your mind conceived it. You believed it can be done, and you did it. That's how strong your imagination is. The only limitation is within your mind. There's a note that Antonio has here. He says, man's only limitation within reason lies in his development and use of his imagination and subsequent motivation to action. Can you imagine how far the gentleman who wanted, his name escapes him and I hate it does because it's a very important story. The gentleman who wanted to be partners with Tom Edison. Can you imagine if he didn't imagine that he could do it regardless? He would have still been at home and he would have never gotten on the train. Go ahead, Mr. Phil.
Edward Barnes.
Thank you. Mr. Edward Barnes. Can you imagine if Mr. Barnes would have just sat there on that stoop, watching the trains go by and never got on? But his imagination was so strong, there was nothing that was going to stop him. Because the reality that was in his mind told him it was possible. He believed it was possible. And there was nothing that was going to stop him from achieving it. Who here has set, who here has pictured something in their mind is like, you know what, I'm capable of doing this and I'm going to do it, and actually did it. And it came out wonderful. What was it, Mr. Phil? Can you let us know?
My life.
Well, now, that is awesome. Come on, Mr. Phil, teach us something. He said, I imagined my life would come out this way. And I went for it. I didn't change it. And guess what? It came out exactly how I wanted it. How many of you have actually used your imagination and you've done that? Like you said, okay, this is how I want my life to be. And you believed it. That's the big key. You can imagine all day, every day. But if you don't believe it's possible, you won't be able to reach it. But your imagination is so powerful that as you do the work and you consistently keep that thought process, or you consistently think of ways it can get better, it can become more efficient, anything is possible.
When you mentioned ways to get better, you know, for 3 years, I've had this adventures with Parkinson's. So what I'm doing, I'm reading out of Esther and Jerry Hicks every night when I go to sleep at night and every morning when I get up. And it's out of Asking It Is Given. It's page 284. You mind if I read it?
Please.
It is natural for my body to be well. Even if I don't know what to do in order to get better, my body does. I have the trillions of cells with individual consciousness, and they know how to achieve their individual balance. When this condition began, I didn't know what I know now. If I know what I know now, this condition wouldn't have gotten started. I don't need to understand the cause of this illness. I don't need to explain how it is I'm experiencing this illness. I have only to gently, eventually release this illness. It doesn't matter how it got started because it's reversing its course right now. It's natural that it would take some time for my body to begin to align to my improved thoughts of well-being. There's no hurry about any of this. My body knows what to do. Well-being is natural to me. My inner being is intricately aware of my physical body. My cells are asking what they need in order to thrive, and source energy is answering those requests. I'm in very good hands. I would relax now to allow communications between my body and my source. My only work is to relax and breathe. I can do this. I can do that easily.
Wow. What book is that again? Ask and It Is Given. Esther and Jerry Hicks. Ask and It Is Given, Esther and Jerry Hicks. Thank you very much. That is wonderful. That is the perfect thing to say before you go to sleep.
And what was that page you were reading from?
284.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wow, that was powerful.
Well, they're the ones that had the 22-point emotional guidance scale.
Yes. I've actually Googled it and screenshotted it. So it's in my files.
Yeah, this is great stuff. You know, where are you on the emotional guidance scale? Because you should never say to yourself, you shouldn't feel that way. Your feelings, that's the thermometer of your soul. And denying your feelings is like putting the sticker over the gas gauge of your automobile and saying, I'm not going to pay any attention to that information. And see how far that gets you. So, Okay, what do you feel? Number 18, do you feel revenge? Okay, do you want to go up the emotional guidance scale to anger? Do you want to go down the emotional guidance scale to hatred and rage? Number 12 is disappointment. Number 11 is overwhelmment. Number 13 is doubt. So there's a gradient. There's 7 on the upward spiral, and then there's 21 on the downward spiral, which I think is interesting. There's twice as many downward emotions than there are upward emotions, but that kind of makes sense anyway, too. And I noticed happiness is not any one of the 22 levels, and gratitude is not any of the 22 levels. But I thought it was interesting that those two aren't in here, and I'm just kind of rolling that around in my head and wondering why. But number one is joy, knowledge, empowerment, freedom, love, and appreciation. Number two is passion. Number three is enthusiasm. Number four is positive expectations and belief. Number five is optimism. Number six is hopefulness. And number seven is contentment. Then you go to the downward scale. Number eight is boredom. Number nine is pessimism. Number 10 is frustration, irritation, and impatience. Number 11 is overwhelmment. Number 12 is disappointment. 13 is doubt. 14 is worry. 15 is blame. 16 is discouragement. 17 is anger. 18 is revenge. 19 is hatred and rage. 20 is jealousy, which I think the second to the last one is jealousy. Well, the third to last. 21 is insecurities, guilt, and unworthiness. And I think the 22 is interesting because we talked about that before. The Course in Miracles says there's two emotions. There's love and fear. Well, 22 is fear, grief, depression, powerlessness, and victim. So what we talk to people about, where are you on the emotional guidance scale? That's 12 o'clock on the clock. Now, 2 o'clock is think. What do you think about what you feel? Because you can think about what you feel and adjust your emotions by how you think. Then based on that, then what do you want to be? Eckhart Tolle says the power now. Or what do you want to believe? And Esther and Jerry Hicks tells us a belief is a thought you just keep thinking. Then based on what do you want to be, what are you going to do? That's at 6 o'clock. Then at 8 o'clock, what are you going to have? And then at 10 o'clock, what are you going to give? So where are you on that cycle? And how do you want to move yourself around that cycle based on the emotions you're choosing to experience? Yeah. And that's what I've learned through the stuff I've been through. No matter what you're going through, you can choose an emotion that benefits you, or you can choose an emotion that hurts you. No matter what you're going on, you get to choose the emotion that you want to respond to the situation you're in. That's why our total life enjoyment is assisting in the enjoyment of everything. Somebody was going to say something. I interrupted him.
No, I interrupted you. I apologize, because I had a question for you. So with, how do you think if your mindset was different from, and you weren't reading Esther and Jerry Hicks, you weren't a humor consultant, how do you think your imagination would be affected?
Wow. Well, I've been involved in self-improvement since I was 9 years old, and I came home and I saw my adopted mother wrapped around the toilet after taking an overdose of sleeping pills. I remember saying to myself, okay, you're going to have to figure this out on your own. I was 9. But when I was 6, my adopted father died when I was 6, 3 days after Christmas. So it was the first day back to Catholic school. So I raised my hand, I stand up, I look at the nun, I say, God knows everything that's going to happen. And the nun said, yes, he does. I said, then how do you have free will? And the nun said, sit down and be quiet. And I thought, I'm 6 and you can't answer this question? This is kind of like the obvious question and you can't answer this? This is not going to be a good relationship between us. I can tell this right now. But the good news is in Think and Grow Rich and then in Conversations with God Book 3, Neil Donald Walsh answers the question, but he uses technology as the metaphor. And they didn't have the technology back then, so I couldn't have given the nun that answer back then, but I can now. And here's the metaphor he uses to answer that question. When you play a video game, how does the character on the screen know how to move? Well, the answer is programming. All the potential moves for every character in every video game is programmed into the game, but you move the joystick. When you were given your life, all of your potential moves are programmed into your life, but you move the joystick. And since God created the game, God's always going to win. So do you want to play on the team of love and forgiveness and compassion and take care of the poor and the sick and the people in prison? Or do you want to play on the team of envy and jealousy and pride and selfishness and lack and negativity? Which team do you want to play?
The first one. I prefer the first one. Go ahead, Ms. Pale.
Yeah, and what Phil was saying before, a word that was so important in his dialogue was choosing. I know for me, when people piss me off and I have had enough, I get very, I'm a Scorpio. I get very angry and I will plot your demise. It's just my style. And I can get myself into a place where I can spend a lot of time very intricately planning how I'm going to deal with you. And I have to pull myself back from that by always asking myself, why am I choosing to feel this way? And when I ask myself that question, it gives me the ability to pull back, because then I have, instead of focusing on the person and what they did that made me angry and what I want to do with them, I have to deal with me, and I have to deal with what satisfaction, what need is being met, to hold on to this feeling. Is it the feeling needing to feel right, righteous, that there's some satisfaction, feels good to be able to do this type of plotting and planning and strategizing. It's sort of an adrenaline rush. Am I staying with this feeling because it's giving me some sort of high? And then I have to check myself. And so I think that's always being able to ask yourself, why am I choosing to feel this way? Is something that we can all do to sort of become introspective and pull ourselves out of things like depression, total uncontrollable rage, melancholy, sadness that goes on with no end in sight. When we get sucked into that vortex of emotion and we feel like we're out of control and it's controlling us, one way to put the brakes on is to ask ourselves why we're choosing to feel that way. So thank you, Phil, for using that word.
Thank you, Mr. Phil, very much. And thank you, Ms. Pam, because I think you helped out a few of us on the call this evening. Like, why are you choosing for this person to have you all the way? Why? So when it comes to your imagine, because that's also part of your imagination, because once you get to a certain place, you're now feeding your imagination. Like Miss Pam said, I can sit there and plot out their demise. And I had to say, Taurus is too, because I will sit there in my I tell people all the time, I have a very vivid imagination. So I literally have a movie playing in my head of where it's going to start, how we're going to start off, what I'm going to say to you, what I'm going to do after I say to you, how I'm going to move you, where I need to move. Like, it's a whole, but that's your imagination. Go ahead, Ms.
And Deanna, it's so important because, especially if you've been raised in a family where you're not supposed to have those emotions, you're supposed to be the good girl. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be polite and you're supposed to be nice and you're supposed to be forgiving and you're supposed to be all of that. And you've been told those feelings, that thought, that imagination isn't even supposed to show up. Mm-hmm. When it shows up, it's like, ooh, I can think, I can have these thoughts. It is your imagination that you can be that evil, that you could be that plotting, that you could be that devious in your own way to strategize, you know, somebody, because 99% of the time in your environment or maybe in your upbringing, you were told you were never to even show or even think or fathom those types of thoughts. And so this is where your imagination also comes in, because, and it gives you an excitement because it's like, I can do this and I can be good at it too.
It was like watching those murder mysteries or listening to the stories. It's like, ooh, he did it the wrong way. If he would have done it that way, I would have done it this way. Go ahead, Ms. Carol.
So one of the things we got to really be careful of is our thoughts. Okay, so imagination is one thing, but where you're focused is another, because that's the energy that you draw to you. And whatever you're doing today is what you're planting seeds for tomorrow. So if we're plotting and we're getting angry, we're going to plant those seeds and we're going to get more of it down the road. So we have to be really, really careful of what we think, and especially putting the emotion behind what we think, because that's the creation. And you don't want to create more of what you don't want. So we have to be really, really, really cautious of what we put out there, because it's energy. Whether we're speaking it or thinking it, it's still energy that we're creating. And when we have those emotions and it hits us in a certain way, we have to look at ourselves and say, where am I feeling this? Where is this coming from? Okay, because why has it affected me in this way? Even if it's enough is enough, you can always choose a different way to respond to it. But usually it's triggering some old stuff. And so we have to kind of look at that too, and kind of dig deep so we can release and let go of some of that stuff. We have a lot of it. That's it.
No, that's true. And that's what I, because earlier for esoteric training, we were talking about the 8 laws of happiness. And it amazed me how, well, not amazed me, but the more I study, the more I realize everything is in tandem with, not do this one more than do that one. Everything's in tandem. So with going through these principles, imagine how much in tandem these principles are. Because if you, so the very first principle number one is your burning desire. But you can't have a burning desire for something if you don't know what it is you want to do. So you have your specialized knowledge that merges into there. But then you have to have the faith to know, which is principle number two, that you can do it. You have to believe strong enough in yourself. And then you have to work through principle number three, your auto-suggestion, because it's going to tell you over and over again, because it's already been solidified, like Miss Carol was saying, you know, and even Miss Pam, you know, this has been fed to me for so long as a kid. So when I do something outside of what's been fed to me, it's going to my auto suggestion is so solidified, it's going to come back up. So everything is in tandem with, and it amazes me how we think everything is separated, but Antonia always tells us everything is connected. So imagine if you work through everything that hit you as a kid and you're able to reach and grow. Like, imagine every time you pull back a layer and knock down a wall, how high you go. It amazes me, even with myself. Because every time I think I done knocked down a wall, and I'm sitting here, I'm like, yeah, I did it. And then all of a sudden I hit another wall. I'm like, wait a minute. I just knocked down that one. Where did you come from? Because we think that our personal growth is for that thing. No, it's literally a lifestyle choice. Personal development is a lifestyle, not a hobby. And when we realize that and we keep that in our minds, we'll understand how everything works in tandem. When I tell you every universal law that Antonio has ever brought to my attention, I sit here and I'm like, well, that's a lot of that that's happening. Well, I know this gonna come back and get me. Oh, well, there go that law right there. But I never realized that the smallest thought in my head or the scenario that I imagined was the seed that was planted that started that whole process. I told Tempest something earlier today and she was like, wait a minute. I said, if I remember correctly, I said, the choice I made, I created this day when I made a decision to stay. What that's about, we ain't gonna go into that. And when I told her that, she looked at me and she was like, really? See, shaking my head. Every choice you make, you create the next day and the next day and the next day. Because we don't grasp the universal understanding that everything works in tandem. So when I tell my son not to do this today, and he decides to do this today, he creates two years down the line when I have to correct him to a point where I start taking things from him. And he's sitting here like, but I didn't do anything. Well, 2 years ago, you planted the seed when you didn't do what I told you to do then. So the laws of the universe worked in tandem. And as that seed grew and that harvest came, here's the harvest of that one seed. And now it's 10 times worse than it was because of the decision that you made on this day. Go ahead, Mr. Phil.
Well, I say this in my programs, and I've said this before here, but we'll try it again. Okay, everybody, I need your attention. Everybody pay attention. Okay, got your attention? Ready? Everybody ready?
Ready.
Feel your underwear. Feel your underwear. Until I said feel your underwear, nobody felt your underwear. But the second I said feel your underwear, you could not feel your underwear unless you weren't wearing any, and that's big dry cleaning bills. So you get what you focus on.
There you go. So if your imagination is so strong, and as my son asked me earlier, mommy, are we in a reality or are we in a game? Well, if your mind is telling you that you're the reality you're in is a game, then you're going to view everything around you as a game. Everything that comes out around you is going to be a game to you. All of the laws, the principles, and I'm referring to the principles as laws, because in my imagination, all of these work in tandem with each other. And in working in tandem with each other, they are creating something that won't be stopped because it's already in motion. Go ahead, Mr. Phil.
Well, I've read this before, so I'll read it again. And by the way, if any of these things I read, keep a mental note of it, because there's a paragraph that goes with everything that I'm going to read, but I'm just going to read the headlines. These are Abraham's teachings in brief. You are a physical extension of that which is non-physical. You're here in this body because you chose to be here. The basics of your life is freedom. The purpose of your life is joy. You are a creator. You create with your every thought. Anything you can imagine is yours to be or do or have. You are choosing your creation just as you are choosing your thoughts. The universe adores you, for it knows your broadest intentions. Relax in your natural well-being. All is well. And then in parentheses, really it is. You are a creator of the thought waves on your unique path of joy. Actions to be taken and money to be exchanged are byproducts of your focus on joy. You may appropriately depart your body without illness or pain. You cannot die your everlasting life. Pretty good stuff.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I typed it in the chat, Abraham's teachings in brief. So y'all want to go Google that. What I love the most about Think and Grow Rich is it helps me with my brain. There were times when me and Grace would drive around and I would tell her, well, I was having a conversation with myself. And I would tell her the conversation that I had. And she would look at me, she's like, D, for real? I said, my imagination goes so strong to where I literally talk to myself. And I'm like, okay, you tripping? Well, no, I'm not tripping. Yes, you are tripping. No, I'm not tripping because this. Well, I get that. But you have to also understand how you've been mentally trained over the years. So since you've been mentally trained to think this, yeah, that's going to happen. But is that really what it is? And then the other, and then I'm like, yeah, excuse my language, is how I talk to myself. Hell yeah, that's what it is. Because I'm connecting the dots going backward, and this is what I drew out. And then the other, and it, again, and it goes back and forth. So imagine if I took that imagination and I drilled down to specified knowledge. And I tackled it, and I took that imagination, and I wrote out my burning desire and what I wanted to do. And I had that much imagination, and I used that, the faith from that imagination, and I put it to my burning desire. And I kill my auto suggestion every single time and tell me, girl, you can't do that. And I tell it, you know what? How about you just go somewhere? And then from there, I narrowed down even more, and I get into my specialized knowledge. And I study, and I go to courses, and I take classes, and I go networking, and I talk to people. And my imagination can be as strong as to have a back and forth conversation. Imagine if I took that same energy and that same vibration and put it into my burning desire. And I talk to, and I have these conversations on a consistent basis, especially when I'm driving to the office and driving from the office, except for when I have my son, because then he has all the conversation for me. But when I start having these conversations in my head, I have to pause myself because then it starts getting too loud. I have to go meditate. I have to sleep. And when sleep doesn't work, I have to meditate, because when you're having the conversation in your sleep, it's a problem. It's a huge problem when you're having a conversation in your sleep. So I have to meditate to clear my mind, because I don't want to choose to wake up every morning to the misery that I went to sleep to.
Watch it, ma'am.
So if my imagination, if I can have a conversation with myself and say, hey, I need you to calm down. How about you just take it day by day? Whatever happened today, when you go to sleep and you wake up, it's a different day. Different problems, different issues, different level of happiness, different level of joy, because you are doing your damnedest to move up and not stay where you are. So how
day by day, oh dear Lord, these things I pray.
Day by day. That's the power of your imagination. And your imagination, which what Ms. Carol said earlier, are thoughts. Thoughts that are so strong that it creates an entire world within you. So if I tell myself, you know what? I don't want to wake up with these thoughts. I don't want to wake up in the condition I went to sleep in. So when I go to sleep tonight, all thoughts cease to exist. And I'm going to rest and give my soul an opportunity to rest. And when I wake up the next day, I'm going to be new. It is so much easier to receive when you're when your mind is clear, your imagination thinks differently. The big kid in me colors when things get too loud in my head, when the conversation, when there's multiple, I don't have multiple personality disorder, but I do have multiple conversations in my head at the same time. So there's like different parts of me that talk at the same time. I have one over here saying, look, I don't know why you tripping. Why don't you just go and do what you used to do? And then I have one say, no, don't do that. That's not going to get us to where we're going. What are you teaching Don when you do that? Then I have one say, he'll be all right. He already grown. Then I have another person in my head say, wait. And then the kid in me says, I can't do this. So I have to distract myself. So I'll go get my coloring book and I'll put on some music and start coloring until all the noise dies down, until I can hear the voice of reason that tells me, shh, relax, have patience with your destiny. Shh, relax, it's forever forgotten. Shh, relax, take it day by day. Can you imagine what we can create? Can you imagine how our thinking can take us to a level of prosperity that's unbelievable? If we silenced all of
the- It's very believable. It's not unbelievable. It's very believable.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Phil. Thank you. It becomes so believable to where it's like, I can do this. There's nothing that can stop me, but there's so many other things. And what I love about Think and Grow Rich is it helps silence the other things so you can focus on your prosperity. When I first heard about Think and Grow Rich, I'm like, oh, okay, you're just going to teach me how to think rich so I can grow rich. Think and grow rich. This is how ignorant I was to the knowledge of Napoleon Hill. I didn't even know who he was. 6 years ago, I had no clue who Napoleon Hill was. Today, I live by the Bible of Think and Grow Rich.
Deanna, I'm constantly amazed because I quote Think and Grow Rich right after I quote the Bible. The first book I hold up in every speech is the Bible. The next book is Think and Grow Rich. And I'm amazed on how many people are unaware of Think and Grow Rich. Now, some audiences, everybody raises their hand. So there's a subsection where it's very prevalent in organizations. It's just part of their community. But in the general public, I would say around 5% of the population is familiar with Think and Grow Rich. Based on my audiences.
So can you eat? When I actually started reading the book, Mr. Phil, I was like, yeah, I got that issue. I got that issue. And I realized that all for our prosperity, it all starts within us. Within our minds. We have been battling I was the kid who played in the rain, singing in the rain with the umbrella and the rubber rain boots with the shorts and the tank top. That was me. That's how my imagination was. And I pictured myself in black and white. I didn't have the pole to swing on, so I did a little twirl on the sidewalk. If I kept that purity of imagination and apply, and I knew about the principles in Think and Grow Rich, I grew up being taught the principles of Think and Grow Rich. Can you believe how we would be on this day? So Think and Grow Rich is not just about thinking rich so you can grow rich. It's literally about flushing everything opposite of your prosperity. Flushing your thoughts, cleansing your mind so you can think better, so you can create better. And I've literally fell in love with it. And like I said, the more I read, the more I study, the more I realize everything is in tandem. Because next week we're going to talk about organized planning. But how can you plan something and be organized with it if you don't have a burning desire to even do it? If you don't have the faith or the belief that no matter what, you can keep going. Antonio tells us all the time, there's two times in life when you use faith. Faith to get started and faith to keep going. But if that burning desire isn't your burning desire, you have all the faith in the world to get started, but to keep going, you're going to be like, yeah, I'm done. I don't do this no more. You leave that right there. How many of you have ever been on the job and you had the burning desire to get the job? You had the faith that you were going to get the job. You started the job and 2 weeks in, you still have faith because this job is it. And in 5 years down the line, somebody come put some paperwork on your desk and you're looking at them like, why is that here? Well, it is your job to go and put that over there on that desk right there. And I'll get to it when I feel like it. Because you no longer have the faith to keep going. Because through that entire time, your auto-suggestion was talking to you the whole time. You know you better than this. You know this is not what you're supposed to do. But you know what? This is only what I'm qualified to do. Well, I know this is what you only qualified to do, but you know, if you just study like you said you was going to do and have faith in the studying that you do, you can get through this and get what you desire. But this is what I deserve. Well, you know, you don't deserve this. We deserve more than this. You know in your gut that this is not where you end. You know in your gut you're worth more than this. Yeah, but with how my life goes, this is where we all end up. Like, we have these our auto-suggestion does the most amazing damage. But when we listen to the part that's like, okay, this is not where I deserve to be because I deserve more. And this is what I want. Well, let me dig into what I really want. Let me use this to keep me afloat until I get to where I really want. So I'm going to dig in and I'm going to get this specialized knowledge and I'm going to work 8 hours here and then go home and study for 8 hours. And then I'll sleep for however long I can and come back and do it again. Because at this point, your imagination has told you, you can do anything. So if you haven't fully read Think and Grow Rich, I really recommend you do. We have 15 minutes left of class tonight, so I'm just going to open it up to everyone. If you have any thoughts, if you have anything that you would like to share, I'm just going to open it up to you. I don't know.
Child, ain't nobody coming behind you.
No. I thought that's what you mouthed. Go ahead, Miss Carol.
So what I'm kind of getting from all of this, and what I mean, not just this here, but all of this, is like what your son said. So if we're part of a bigger picture and we're like a drop of water from the ocean, we are part of God and we are creators. So whatever God is, we are. And if we're that, and it's not something that is tangible, that we can take and touch, that's the one that's telling us a lot of things in our mind, and that's the silent listener, then we are nothing but avatars. Mm. If we're avatars, why don't we just program our avatars the way we want them to respond and react and do. And it might be a little easier that way, but we have to kind of monitor the emotions because those really get the creation going out there. But your son is right. We're avatars.
So imagine if we direct, like Mr. Phil was saying earlier, we have the choice of where we guide the joystick. Those conversations, all those conversations. So when you read the book, it makes you, well, I'll say what it did for me. It made me stop and see. Like it made me put a mirror up in front of me and say, hey, look, dude. Okay, so I talk to myself. I call myself dude. Dude, you tripping. You tripping. Like, look, hello, look at this. Like, this is what you're doing. And because you're doing this, you're missing all of this over here. Because you're focusing on this aspect of things, you're missing all of the greatness on this side. So just chill out. And it's crazy because if you ever hear my kid, if you ever see me look at him and in the background, you hear, I know, mommy, chill out. That's where it came from. Conversation I have with myself, it bleeds over to my conversation with him. I'll look at him, but I'll even say, dude, and he'll stop what he's doing. And he'll be like, I'm sorry, mommy, because he know he's getting too loud. Like, we've been doing this together for 5 years, dude. Come on. But imagine if instead of me worried about being the perfect mother while he was growing up, I read to him Think and Grow Rich every night. When we sleep, when we go to sleep at night, he tells me, he say, mommy, can you put on the sleep music that I like? Because before he started school, I'll let him be on his tablet, whatever. But no, we got to get up. But what I started doing was putting on meditation music for both of us at night. So now that he can't use his tablet to go to sleep, because he tells me he can't fall asleep without it. And I'm looking at him like, okay, yeah, that you just want to play. He asked me, he said, mommy, can you put on the sleeping music for me? So now the same music I listen to when I go to sleep for overnight meditation, just to fill me while I'm sleeping, he gets that same thing now. So imagine if I read Think and Grow Rich while he was in my belly. If I read Think and Grow Rich to him every night before we went to sleep. Because they have Think and Grow Rich for kids. What if I introduced him to that sooner? It's never too late, which I do understand. But imagine how his imagination would be at six if I did it then versus at six and mommy's doing it now. And now that he's learning how to read, he's going to be upset with me. Hey, take that book right there. Mommy, there's no pictures. I don't care. Work it out. We'll read it together. I wouldn't do that to him. I'll find a way to make it interesting, but it begins with your thoughts. And that's what I understood from Think and Grow Rich. It's all about how you think. And once you grasp that, it's like the secret. The secret in life is genuine, is me. What I think the secret is. It's all in your head. It's the conversations you have, the thoughts you have, the imagination that flows through you. And once you have mastered that, once you have specified knowledge in you, you can do anything. We have specified knowledge in everything else in this world but ourselves. Because we don't take the time to study ourselves. We take the time to study everything else to distract us from ourselves, but never study ourselves. So make you.
Speak for yourself.
Well, like, my bad. You absolutely right, Mr. Phil. You absolutely right. I didn't take the time to have specified knowledge in myself. Thank you, Mr. Phil. So if I had a burning desire for myself, to grow myself, and I had faith that I can do it, And I changed my auto-suggestion to tell myself I can and I will, and not I won't and I can't. And then I made it a purpose to study myself, to become, to have specialized knowledge in me. My imagination would create worlds, and I know it. And that's just the first 5 principles of the 13 that are in Thinking Grow Rich. So I thank each and every one of you for joining me. If you have any questions, any thoughts, anything, please unmute your mic. But if not, we will see you next week for organized planning. Go ahead, Mr. Phil.
Your imagine is creating worlds.
It is. It is. But because I have not mastered and specialized knowledge in me, the worlds I'm creating are kind of, they're looking like Fortnite worlds. they have obstacle courses in the sky and broken up ground. But I thank each and every one of you for joining me this evening for the Integrity Leadership class. And I look forward to seeing each and every one of you next week as we discuss principle number 6, which is organized planning. Looking forward to seeing you all next week. You can plant better. You can dominate. Good night, everyone.
Love you.
Love you more.
Good night.